Srila Rupa Goswami has said, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is said by Srila Rupa Goswami that whatever is the best thing you have, please give it to Krishna. Never consider yourself a loser, but rather, whatever you offer to Krishna, you gain by hundreds of millions of times. Patram pushpam palam thoyam yome bhakta prayat. Krishna says, if you even offer to me a little fruit, a flower, a leaf, or water, if it is offered with devotion, he will accept it. When Krishna accepts our offering, that is the perfection of our life. Those who are intelligent know that real happiness, real prosperity, is not how much we can acquire in this world, but real opulence and prosperity is when Krishna, who is the husband of the goddess of fortune, who is the supreme root, cause of all existence, when he accepts our offering, that is truly the fulfillment of all the desires of the soul. For one who Krishna accepts as his devotee, that person has nothing to fear. Hunger, thirst, lamentation, bewilderment, old age and death. These six types of miseries that are imminent within everything in this material creation, they are transcended by those great and fortunate souls who make their lives an offering at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. The place that we are sitting now is a place which truly illustrates Krishna's love for his devotees and the devotees' love for Krishna. This is the residence of Sudama, the Brahman who lived in this very place in such poverty. He and his wife, they were lean and thin, emaciated due to hunger. They only had old, torn clothing. They lived in utterly poverty-stricken conditions, but yet they were always satisfied. They never endeavored or strived to acquire more material opulence. They didn't even endeavor for the basic necessities of life. They had such faith. They accepted that whatever by their destiny Krishna provides is just what they require. In this way they live peacefully. Not at all attached to anything but the service of the Lord. But a devotee is paradukaduki. A devotee is always very compassionate to try to relieve all other living beings of whatever type of suffering they may be enduring. So the wife of Sudama, whose name was Sushil, she could see that her husband, although always immersed in pure devotional service, his health was very sickly and weak, and they hardly had even the bare necessities for survival to maintain their body and soul. So not for her sake, she was content to live in any condition as the servant of her husband. But out of her compassion and concern for him, she requested him repeatedly that you are the dear friend and devotee of Lord Sri Krishna, who is Lakshminath. He is living in Dwarka with his beautiful queens, and he is the reservoir of all love for his devotees. And you have surrendered your life utterly in his loving service. You have gone to school with Krishna. You have become his intimate friend. And Krishna is always favorable to fulfill the desires of his friends and his devotees. And besides that, for those who are qualified Brahmins, Krishna is always most affectionate toward them. So you please, you go to Dwarka and allow Krishna. He asked, where possibly did you get the ingredients, such costly facilities to make this wonderful prasad? And Rupa Goswami explained that a beautiful young girl just happened to come to me in the Vrindavan forest and offer all these things. What did this girl look like? When he began to explain the characteristics of this beautiful young girl, Srila Sanatana Goswami understood that it was Srimati Radharani. He said, you have committed a great offense. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught the principle of devotional service. Na danam na janam na sundarim kavitam vajagadisha kamaye mama janamani janmanishwari bhavatad bhakti rahai tikitvayi. I do not want any wealth from you, my Lord, nor do I want beautiful women to enjoy, nor do I want fame and followers. I do not even want liberation from suffering. My only request is that you grant me causeless devotion to you, service to you, birth after birth after birth. Sanatana has explained to Rupa Goswami, you have transgressed this cardinal principle of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching. You have accepted service from Srimati Radharani. Our lives are meant exclusively for the purpose of rendering her service. She has left her beautiful service to Lord Sri Krishna, which we are supposed to be assisting her in, just to offer you. In this way, Rupa and Sanatana both began to cry. But then when they tasted the sweet rice, the kheer, which was personally cooked by Srimati Radharani and offered to Rupa Goswami, they both became mad in ecstatic love, weeping and crying as they fell to the ground, thinking, why, oh why, are we so foolish to have accepted material service from our Lord and Master? Sudama Vipra and all pure Vaishnavas, they all have this mood. Although throughout the world, in the name of religion, people are asking God to fulfill their material necessities and desires in life, But the true followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will never ask for anything but what can be offered in his loving service. Knowing that the supreme wealth is this spirit of renunciation in the service of the Lord. So Sudama again and again and again heard his wife's loving requests. Although she felt very shy to ask her husband anything, she was doing it in a spirit of service for his welfare. So just to pacify and satisfy his noble, virtuous wife, Sudama agreed to go to Dwarka. In fact, his inner reason for going was simply to meet with Krishna and have his blessed darshan. He told his wife that if I go to Dwarka, when you meet a great personality, you must always bring them a gift. What do we have nothing in our house, nothing to even offer him. So she went to some neighboring ladies and she acquired 4 palmfuls of chipped rice. The simplest food. The food which is available at any time, anywhere, for even the poorest beggars. I remember many years ago when I was living as a mendicant with many sadhus. At one time, we would simply be doing bhajan on the banks of a holy river, the Sarayu River in Ayodhya. And I was with these people, they didn't even care to do madhukari. But somehow or other, every day, people would just come and bring a gumsha filled with chipped rice. It's so cheap, you don't even have to ask people for it if you're a beggar. And we used to mix it with the water of the Ganges and we would eat it. And it was very simple, but simple living, high thinking is something very wonderful. So Sudama, he began to walk toward Dwarka Dham from this place. And we entered into the vicinity of the palaces of Krishna. He was struck with wonder to see their majestic opulence. And it was very, very difficult for anyone to enter into the palaces of Sri Krishna. There were many guards and soldiers and boundary walls. But it was a rule in Dwarka that any pure-hearted and learned Brahmins were given immediate access and entrance into the innermost chambers of Krishna's palace. No one else. So Sudama Vipra entered into the personal quarters of Krishna, where he was sitting on the bed of Rukmini, along with his beloved consort. And when he saw the Vipra Sudanu approaching, he immediately rose from his bed and with great affection, with his 2 transcendental arms, he embraced Sudama. The women of the palace, who were the servants of Krishna and Rukmini, they were struck with wonder to see this. That Krishna never embraced anyone except Lord Balaram and Rukmini. How is it that he was embracing this poor Brahmin whose clothes were all tattered, old and unkempt, who was lean and thin, obviously due to starvation? And then Krishna personally escorted Sudama to the bed of Rukmini. And he sat him down. And Lord Sri Krishna sat at the feet of his devotee, and with scented waters, he personally with his own hands washed the feet of Sudama Vipra. And then he took that water and sprinkled it upon his head for his own purification. Krishna's Bhakta Vatsal. Krishna is always favorable toward his devotees to the extent that he becomes the menial servant of his devotees. Krishna becomes so much subordinate to the love of his devotees that he associates with devotees in his mind for his own purification. After washing the feet, the humblest service possible to his devotee, and sprinkling it upon his own head, he took with his own blessed hands sandalwood pulp mixed with saffron and aguru and decorated the body of Sudama. He offered him nice fruits and nice pleasurable drink. Then he offered scented incense, and he offered the burning lamp. With his own hand, he performed aarti for his devotee. The whole world is approaching God to worship him and to gain favors from him. We find the yogis, they worship the Lord through their meditation and their tapasya. The karmakandis, they worship the Lord through magnificent sacrifices. The bhaktas, they worship the Lord by chanting his name, by offering aarti, by offering their lives in his service. The jnanis, they worship the Lord by scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures. But that Lord, Sri Krishna, who is even worshipped by the great demigods headed by Brahma and Shiva, what is he doing in his own personal confidential quarters? He is worshipping his devotee. Although Sudama Vipra, by material standards, was poverty-stricken like a beggar, in today's society, he would practically be trampled upon by everyone. There would be no respect given to such a soul. But because of his simplicity and his love, the Supreme Absolute Truth, the proprietor of all creation, is taking the water from his feet upon his head and offering the aarti for his pleasure. Sri Krishna then offered wonderful prasad to Sudama. And after allowing him to rest, they sat together on the bedstead of the goddess of fortune, and they began to speak. Krishna said, "How fortunate I am that you have come to give your blessings to my home." He said that those persons who are not attached to material opulence or sense gratification, but are always immersed in the remembrance of the Supreme Lord, he said, "I am always, from within the heart as the Paramatma, relishing the love of such devotees." Then Krishna began to reminisce, to remember their past together. He said, "Do you remember when we spent many days together in the ashram of our spiritual master?" how fortunate we were to be in his service. Krishna said that one who properly serves one's spiritual master and obediently follows his instructions is most fortunate amongst men, and only that person can gain the true favor of the Lord. He explained that there are two types of guru. There is the Shiksha Guru, the instructing guru, and there is the Diksha Guru, the initiating guru. He said both of them are to be considered representatives of my very self. And one who properly hears from them and serves them becomes most dear to me. But one who disobeys their orders and displeases them can never gain my favor. Do you remember how we used to do menial services for our Gurudev? One day, the wife of Guru Maharaj asked us to get firewood from the forest. And while we were in the forest, in a secluded place, it became very dark. And clouds appeared in the sky. It began to rain. It was raining so hard, it was not just a rainfall, but it was like a devastation. And there were high winds, which created much dust, by which we could not see where we were. And it became very cold. And the two of us, we held hands and stood together in great, great distress, not knowing where to go or what to do. And throughout the entire night, we spent in that condition. The next morning, Guru Maharaj sent his disciples, and he along with them were searching for us. And they found us in that suffering condition in the forest. And Guru Maharaj was so pleased. He said that you have undergone so much trouble and suffering just to serve me. This is the perfection of your life. And Krishna told Sudama that one who is willing to suffer and undergo great pains and distress to serve the spiritual master, that person becomes most dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and no one else. At that time, our Guru Maharaj was so pleased that he gave us the benediction that all the Vedas that you have heard from me, you will always remember, and you will be able to quote them for the benefit of others. Anyway, Sudamaji, after our education under Gurudev was properly complete, Gurudev gave you the blessings that you could leave his ashram and accept a wife. Krishna explained that as a brahmachari, living very simply, obediently following the instructions of Gurudev, this is the proper way of being trained in Vedic knowledge. And in a certain stage of one's life, one should either remain a brahmachari in the obedient service of Guru, or if one has the inclination with the blessings of the spiritual master, he may get married and live a pure, God-centered, Krishna-conscious life. Sudamaji, you and your wife, you are living with such simplicity and such devotion. Such Brahmins, Vaishnavas as yourself, are worshipable even by me. But I believe you must have brought me some gift. Krishna, who is the Paramatma and the knower of everything, could understand that Sudama was too shy to give this paltry offering of chipped rice to the Lord. Imagine Sudama is sitting in the beautiful palace of Rukmini Devi, which has inconceivable opulences and luxuries. How could he offer the poorest man's food to Krishna? But Krishna requested, I know you have this chipped rice, please give it to me. And Sudama bowed his head in great shyness to the ground. And Krishna forcibly grabbed that little piece of cloth with the chipped rice tied within it. And he opened that cloth and he took a morsel. And Krishna told Sudama that by taking this morsel of chipped rice, you are not only satisfying me, but you are satisfying the entire creation. It is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam that just as by pouring water on the root of the tree or putting food into the stomach, we can satisfy all the limbs of the body and all the limbs of the tree. In the same way, when Krishna is satisfied, he is the source of everything that exists, we can simultaneously, automatically satisfy all of existence. When he went to take a second morsel, Rukmini Devi, with her loving hands, she held the hand of Krishna. She said, my dear Lord, there is no need to take any more of this chipped rice. By your taking this one morsel, you have already fulfilled all the desires of Sudama Vipra. When Krishna accepts our love, in whatever form it may come, we should know that the fulfillment of all of our desires has been accomplished. So they spent the entire evening discussing their old days together. And the next morning, with Lord Sri Krishna's permission, Sudama Vipra left the palace to return to his home. As he was traveling back to this place where we are sitting now, he was overwhelmed in ecstatic love. How is it that Krishna, who is being served by the goddess of fortune herself, who is being worshipped by all the great rishis and all the great yogis and all the great saints and even the demigods of the heavens, that he was worshipping me, he was embracing me, he was putting me on his own bed, he was washing my feet with his own hands and feeding me with his own hands. Such is the love of Krishna for his devotees. The process of bhakti is the supreme process of self-realization, because it is the only process by which Krishna becomes subordinate to his devotee. Srila Prabhupada used to say that the jnanis, they want to become God, but the bhakta becomes better than God. God becomes the servant of his devotee. Sometimes we see the picture of Lord Ramchandra at Rameshwaram, where he is worshipping Lord Shankar. And people say that this is proof that Ram is not the supreme God. But Vaishnavanam yata shambhu, Lord Shiva himself explains that he is the devotee of Krishna, of Narayan. And he is the greatest devotee. He was willing even to drink an ocean of poison in the service of the Lord to show compassion to others. Therefore, it should not be surprising to see the Lord worshipping his beloved devotees. Sudama Vipra, as he was returning home, he was filled with divine ecstasy upon thinking of Krishna's love. But he remembered that he did not ask Krishna for any material relief from his suffering of poverty. How could he ask Krishna for anything material? So he was returning home without in any way even endeavoring to fulfill the mission he was sent on. But when he came to this place, to his great surprise, he looked for his little thatched hut, and in its place were beautiful, beautiful, beautiful palaces, which were incomparable. Even the palaces of Indra could not compare. And around these wonderful, exquisite buildings were beautiful parks with very auspicious and smiling personalities walking throughout them. And there were wonderful, auspicious trees and beautiful, crystal clear water lakes with auspicious birds. He was wondering, where am I? Just at that time, effulgent personalities who were decorated with beautiful clothing and jewelry, smiling faces, they came playing musical instruments and singing beautiful songs to greet him. And at that time his wife, she came out of the house. She was decorated with a golden necklace, beautiful jewels, and wonderful costly garments. And Sudama Vipra could not believe how incredibly beautiful she was appearing. And when she looked at her husband, tears began to fill her eyes. She became so choked up in ecstatic love, thinking of the mercy that Lord Krishna has showed him, that she could not even speak. And she bowed her head at his lotus feet. And Sudama Vipra, upon seeing all of this, began to think, this has all taken place by the causeless mercy of Lord Sri Krishna. I offered him a few grains of chipped rice, and I would not even ask him for anything in return. But Krishna, his love, his concern for his devotees is so great that he has provided such amazing facilities just to make me happy. Sudama and his wife, engrossed in thoughts of the mercy of Krishna, could not even speak. They silently entered into the palace. And when he went into his personal quarters, he saw that there was no need for lighting, but there were so many precious jewels inlaying the translucent, transparent marble walls, that it was creating light. And all the furniture was finely carved ivory, bedecked with jewels. And his bedstead was beautiful silk that was white like the foam of milk. Sudama Vipra, along with his wife, they did not even for a second think, let us enjoy this wonderful luxuries and opulence. But with great humility and simplicity, their minds were engrossed with the thought, this is the causeless mercy of Krishna. This should all be utilized only for the service of Krishna. In this way, Sudama and Sushila, they lived the rest of their lives in this beautiful palace that existed right here where we are sitting today. But they never even considered accepting anything for their sense gratification. They utilized everything in the service of the Lord. How? By offering wonderful palatable foods for the Lord, by always chanting his names, by always serving his devotees. They showed by their example how a grihastha could live even in such conditions, but always be selflessly engaged in devotional service. Shukadev Goswami explained to Maharaj Parikshit that Sudama Vipra lived the rest of his life in loving devotion to the Supreme Lord. His consciousness did not change even the slightest from when he was living in a starving condition of poverty. He understood everything is Krishna's. Everything is meant for his service. And when Sudama and Sushila left this world, they were immediately promoted back home, back to Godhead, the spiritual world, the ultimate perfection of the desires of all fortunate souls. So this is a very special and very holy place. Let us meditate on the supremely virtuous and humble qualities of Sudamati. And let us meditate with great gratitude for having, by the mercy of our Prabhupada, the opportunity to worship and surrender our lives to the supreme, most loving, compassionate and merciful Lord, Sri Krishna. And let us always keep in the forefront of our consciousness that the real fulfillment of the goal of life comes not by keeping anything for ourselves, but by utilizing everything in the service of the Lord with complete faith that Krishna is within the core of our hearts. He knows our needs and he knows our wants. And if we are simply sincere, he will make every arrangement possible to guide us back home, back to Godhead. So we should accept every situation with a grateful and thankful heart and always be a humble servant of his devotees. And always remember him by chanting his holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram.